Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 30th day of January, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is keep it simple, folks, and followed up by a session of open mic. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambith. Interesting note, Skip Baker put out a recent posting where he talked about which nations became from the different tribes, and that he had put that the Welsh are primarily the tribe of Levi, and that he had a quote from Richard Burton that said that any Welshman can read ancient Hebrew and understand ancient Hebrew. That is verified by the work of archaeologist E. Raymond Capt as well, in the fact that the ancient Paleo-Hebrew is found today in the language of the Welsh people. The other Gaelic tongues, being Irish and Scottish, are close, but the truest form to the ancient Hebrew is found in the Welsh language. Very interesting. In fact, it's also interesting that even our word dad comes from the Welsh language. It's their word for father, so it fits perfectly. When I was a boy, we used the term dad much more than we did father. So just a little side note, little interesting piece of information. We do welcome callers in a bit. We do ask that folks keep it short and to the point so that others can participate. We are in the question and answer mode, which means one at a time. Our website, where we keep a posting of all the scheduled calls as well as archives of past calls, information about hot news and daily news, research information, health information. A new page that we've recently added is the lock and load page, where we're passing on to you what people have fed to me as far as knowledge about weaponry, good sources for buying good deals for firearms and ammunition, because we think that's the time that we're in. So just a word to the wise. But anyway, that's our website, PastorDan.net, and Pastor Dan, of course, has no spaces or anything. So just a very simple PastorDan.net. And then there's also a way to contact us there. I'm looking up something here real quick, so I hope you'll bear with me. I'm looking for a area code here. Something changed on the website. It's not working very well at the moment. We do want to ask, we do want to say a shout out to our fellow listeners over there in good old Tampa Bay area of Florida, with Jimmy with Bank versus UTV. Haven't seen you guys in a while. And again, I'm just typing something in here, so I hope you'll just bear with me. Okay, let's see here. Okay, I got a good quote for you. Again, this is from Thomas Watson. Nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as what he does from day to day to lead himself. Think about that. Let me try that again. Nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as what he does from day to day to lead himself. I remember when I was a young boy, they used to say a good test of character is to watch what somebody does when they don't think anybody's watching them. You want a good test of character? That's one way you can do it. Take note of how they behave when they believe nobody is watching. That'll tell you a lot about people. Okay? We went over the quotes of Benjamin Franklin, George Washington in the last broadcast, where they very explicitly warned us about these people called Jews and what they will do in our country if they are allowed in. Benjamin Franklin advocated for a amendment to the Constitution with a prohibition for their entry into our nation. And people say, well, why would that be? Well, because they watched what they did to Europe. Okay, they've been kicked out of foreign countries 109 times. Now, the Jew propaganda, of course, is that it's simply because they're Jews, which is ridiculous, okay? Just totally ridiculous. It's always because of behavior. Now, the Jew wants you to feel guilty because you have judged people's bad behavior and you want them either to be fixed or vacated from your lands, but you see, that's the propaganda. And the mainstream media, of course, is owned by these same people. They've got a death grip on your Congress. They got a death grip on the financial institutions. They got a death grip on medicine, pharmaceuticals, the medical schools. They got a death grip on the seminaries where most of your lame, deadbeat, deaf and dumb dog preachers come from. I recently saw where Mr. John Kaminsky, who's also from the west coast of Florida, had written to a gentleman and said, yes, we need to work together to destroy these the Zionist Judeo-Christian philosophy in churches. What he meant by that is because they're teaching a lie. Okay, the mainstream churches are teaching lies to our people. They're setting the sheep up for the slaughter, literally. Literally setting them up, okay? Treason from within. So we got a lot of things going on in the country right now. I mean, it's a full-time job. What I'm doing now is a full-time job. Thank goodness the Father put this in my heart because it's a labor of love. I really don't even think of it as a job, but I spend as much time or more doing what I do than when I actually worked for a living. So the only difference is I don't get paid for it much, very little, but it's, again, a labor of love, and I feel as if I'm using the talents that the Father gave me for much better purposes. I used to think generating electricity in the civilian world and working on United States Air Force aircraft was significant, but as I look at the big picture of things, those things are insignificant when you look at an effort being made to destroy the white race, our culture, our heritage, our very languages, the statues of our heroes from our past. No matter which side of the Mason-Dixon line you're on, these are historical figures. These are a vital part of our heritage. Allowing somebody to tear that statue down is a sign of conquering. People only do that when they are victorious in a war over another people, and it's their show of contempt for you and your kind. So these sons of bitches that are tearing down our statues and our rebel flags and things like that, and I'm talking about people in government as well. These SOBs are traitors to this country. Everything that this country stands for. And if people don't like hearing that this country was founded by white men and women, then that's their problem. We don't need to back up and kiss their ass because they're offended, okay? Facts are facts. Now, if you're a soft-headed soy boy or girl or one of these social justice warriors or cucks that are walking around, okay, you can believe that emotions matter. But in the real world, your emotions don't make one bit of difference, okay? That's why they're trying to effeminize this world again. Jimmy up in Tampa says here, indeed, make America white again. Yeah, and even the black preacher in Harlem, James David Manning, has said the exact same thing. And he's a black PhD preacher with a large radio audience as well as a large congregation, actual congregation. And he's told his congregations this very thing. You didn't build civilization, folks. Because I know that's hard to swallow for a few of you folks, because the propagandists want to put this bullshit out there that you did, but you didn't. No matter how much the traitor to America, Barack Obama, the piece of dog meat that he was, no matter how many of these interlopers come into our society and preach this communist dogma at you so that you will forget your heritage. Because remember, it was Lenin, Vladimir Lenin. That's not his real name. He's another Talmud-thumping name changer. But we call him Vladimir Lenin, but you can look it up. That's not his real name. A Zionist communist pig made the statement that if you can separate a people from their heritage, they can be easily persuaded. Can you say the average American today, they have been effectively disconnected from their heritage, and they are easily persuaded by the Jew media? Okay? But what they didn't count on, even though they read the Bible only because they're looking for loopholes, what they didn't count on is the fact that Yahweh said that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh at the end of the age. He would pour out his spirit on all flesh, which what that trumps, and I don't mean that as a pun, but that trumps anything the Antichrist Jews are doing. Yahweh himself has said, I have my ecclesia, my called out ones, and they will be above all of this. They will be able to discern through all of this lies and distortions. And praise Yahweh that we are able to do that. Now, the reason I entitled it, Keep It Simple, folks, is because of how many people are communicating with me in total frustration over what the hell's going on today. All right? I know it's frustrating, okay? And we have a lot of people who are adding to the frustration because of their bad behavior. And I don't normally like to do this, but because of a conversation I just had, part of the bad behavior is one of the reasons I left EFR, okay? Because the three main characters over there, the three chief rabbis, I call them, stopped behaving in a manner I thought befitting people that want to be called leaders of our people and our faith. They act more like Pharisees. And I can't be a part of that. We need to unite our people, not figure out ways to divide us. And acting like Pharisees and beating people up with the laws of the scriptures is ridiculous. Okay? Even Christ himself said, administer my law. Now remember, this is Yahweh in a flesh body, okay? So this is authority talking to you. Administer my law with mercy. Okay? He considers it sinful to use the law to beat people up with. Now, it doesn't mean to turn your back and condone bad behavior. Part of the discussion is homosexuals. Should they be just outright destroyed? Well, I said, you know, what did Christ tell us? What did the Messiah tell us? He said to administer the law with mercy. So, don't you think, according to the scripture anyway, what would be the right thing to do would be that the elders get together and go visit the two people involved and tell them that you are outside the law. So you have two choices. If you want to live amongst us, you got to obey the law. If you want to stay in your perversion, you need to go find another country. You need to get the hell out, because you can't live amongst us and violate the law. Okay, that might be one way to handle it and fit the criteria that Christ gave us. The point of it is, Yahweh's going to make these decisions anyway. He didn't leave it up to us. He said, I can't leave something that important up to you folks, because we're terrible. New York just passed that absolutely draconian law that says you can abort a baby up to the point of it being born. Okay, so this is a living, breathing person in the process of being born. And Jimmy says here, Virginia followed suit. So, okay, Virginia and New York, right up there in New England, right where the country started. You would think conservatism and the faith of our fathers would be prevalent there, and yet they are okay with this law. And again, I'll say, where are these so-called preachers? If you can't stand up for a child that's in the process of being born and understand that that's a living person, then I'm sorry, you're not even fit to call yourself human, let alone a preacher of Yahweh's word. You have no sense of morality at all. Truly a deaf and dumb dog. That's exactly what you are, Scripture calls it. And Christ himself said that you will be vomited out of his mouth because you are not fit. You're not fit for service to him. And I can't wait for that day, to tell you the truth. I pray for it all the time, for this second coming of the Messiah and bring judgment upon this absolutely abysmal world that we live in. It's just unbelievable, the idiocy that's going on today. And yet, people who claim to be righteous, claim to believe in the Bible, claim to believe in the God of the Bible, claim to be Americans from the progeny of the ancestors who settled this land, and yet they behave like they are right out of ancient Babylon. Even worse, I'm not so sure they were that bad in ancient Babylon. They did some bad things, but on the scale that we're doing it today, literally millions a year, they didn't do it on that scale. Okay, with modern technology, has man gotten better? Yeah, he's gotten better at killing his own kind through wars, fake food, fertilizers, additives, antibiotics, herbicides, insecticides, all of it going into your body. You're poisoning your body. Now we find out they're putting cells, material that was developed through the cells of aborted babies, and using it as flavor enhancers in many of the products that you consume on a daily basis, turning you literally into cannibals. Why would the enemy do that? Okay? Do they really need to do that? No. So what is the purpose? Okay, again, when you're investigating anything, cui bono? Who benefits? Who benefits from taking Yahweh's sons and daughters and turning them into cannibals, something that Yahweh detests, right along with race mixing, right along with homosexuality, right along with transgender and all the other aberrations of nature? Why would they do that? To separate you from the Father and to pollute your body. Okay? To pollute your body, particularly your pineal gland. Now, let's picture you're out on the battlefield, which we are in a war, folks, in case you haven't figured it out or not. You're out on the battlefield, and many of us are either alone or in small groups, very, very small groups. You're out on the battlefield, you're separated from the main body of your unit. And you're waiting to hear from the commander as to what direction to head and when to meet up and where to meet up, etc. But all of a sudden, your antenna quit working. Your antenna got broke off in the tree branches, or you accidentally stepped on it. So what good is your radio if you don't have a good antenna? I worked in electronics and radar systems in the Air Force. I worked on electronics as far as radio and television afterwards. So I'm a little familiar with that. So I can tell you right now, you can have the greatest, most powerful transmitter in the world, but if you don't have a good antenna, it's useless. And you need a good antenna at the transmitting end of it and at the receiving end of it. So let me tell you something. Yahweh's equipment works fine. All right? I'm sure Yahweh has no problem putting out a strong signal to his people. The question is, do you have the receiver and antenna that it takes to hear the message? Most of you don't. most of you have the hardware, but you don't have the software. So you may have a clean body and a clean pineal gland, which is the antenna, the third eye, but you don't have the software. So there's that nice signal coming from the Most High, ready to come down that antenna and be received, but you don't have the software to interpret it, called the Holy Spirit. You haven't believed in the Father. You haven't approached wisdom, which comes what? With faith. You have no faith, you have no wisdom. You have no right to receive. You don't have the right software, the right programming. Got the hardware, you don't have the software. Sorry. And some other of you have the right software, but you've neglected the hardware. You've got the right spirit within you, but you're not hearing the messages because you have polluted your holy temple, either by your deeds or by your diet. Okay? And a lot of people think, oh, well, that's crazy, Dan. What you're talking about is pure nonsense. Well, you go, you believe whatever the hell you want to believe. I've learned everything I've learned by actually going and walking through these things, learning these things up close and personal, and applying them to my own body. So whether you believe it or not really doesn't matter to me. There's only one entity in this world that I care about, and that's Yahweh the Father. That's it. My promise to him many, many years ago was to tell the truth as he presented it to me. As I learned, and I've never stopped learning, school was just to get you started. Your whole life is a learning experience. I've never stopped seeking the truth and learning. And my promise to him was if he would open the doors and teach me, I would turn around and teach my brothers and sisters in faith. So that's what I'm doing. Again, not for profit, not for glory, but because I promised the Father. And nothing anybody on this earth can do for me or give me is ever going to match what the Father's got in store for me on the other side. I know that. That's why it really doesn't matter to me. If I lived in a palatial home of 8,000 square feet or if I live in a mobile home that's only got 500 square feet, what difference does it make? It's just a shelter. It's the right attitude. That's why I said keep it simple. We are swimming in a sea of lies and deception. It's getting worse every day. The insanity is worse every day. It's just getting nuttier and nuttier. Even Dan Bongino today was talking about it. He's a former Secret Service that's now speaking very loud and clear. Dave Janda, a retired orthopedic surgeon who's got Operation Freedom, speaking out daily. I just listened to one by Seething Frog, who's a gentleman that appears to be close to my age. He does an excellent job in his YouTube interviews and his monologues. He came out with one today saying that we need to rise up as the people. And we've been talking about that on this show as well. We need to rise up and demand what we think needs to be done to fix the problems we got today. You and I, the people. Forget these whores and prostitutes in government and in banking and in the centralized churches, which is obvious that that's all they are. They're whores. Again, the world has literally turned over to whoredom, a great apostasy and whoredom. So the people that still have a conscience and still want to fix things, then he's suggesting that we get together and start doing what our cousins in France, our cousins in Belgium, our cousins in Canada, and other places, and the Gilets Jaunes in French is yellow vest, okay? Putting on the yellow vest and getting out in large groups to protest. Now, this is nothing new. I was in Washington, D.C., clear back in the fall of 2009, so that is over 9 years ago. And we had 2 million of us in Washington, D.C. alone. What people don't remember is that there were 7 million other people in the other major cities of the United States that same day. So Seething Frog is trying to get 10 million yellow vesters in America. With that kind of numbers, he said there's no way they can pull off their draconian measures to try to suppress it. And the interesting thing was, 9 years ago, we had 9 million people in the streets on a single Saturday afternoon. Okay, 2 million of us in Washington, D.C., but there was another 7 million in the other major cities like Chicago and Dallas and Philadelphia, etc. So already, 9 years ago, we were able to muster 9 million people. And there were a lot of signs carried around that day that said, what if we had come armed? Think about that. 2 million ticked off white people. And there were some non-whites, but not very many. It was predominantly middle-class whites. A lot of veterans and a lot of former law enforcement. What if we had come armed? We could have taken Washington, D.C. There was very little presence of any kind of police or military anywhere near us. We literally could have taken over the halls of Congress. And I think that's what's kind of scared them. And that's what's got a lot of this stuff going on today, is the fact that they saw 9 million ticked off Americans in the streets shouting and screaming 9 years ago. So the idea of 10 million yellow vests in America, not that hard, because the vests are cheap. In fact, one of our listeners from Texas just sent me a note saying that they were able to get one of these very bright neon vests for only $4 on, I think it was eBay. I know I have a on my watch list on eBay is a gentleman sells a little higher quality one, but it's only like $8. But it's a nice one with pockets and all that kind of stuff. Jimmy says he just ordered 20 of them from Amazon. Way to go, Jimmy. $10 each. Okay, well, then there'll be decent ones at $10. But the point of it is, though, that they're out there. If you don't have very many bucks, you can find them for $4, $5. If you got a few extra dollars, you get a little nicer one. It's got better material, a little thicker, a little better reflective tape on it. And they also serve as an excellent thing to have. Like, I'm on the crime watch for my community. A lot of times we patrol at night. They're very handy to make sure you don't get run over, because people today on these roads, even in a community, are reckless. They're too busy doing something on those damn phones to pay attention to what they're doing. So having a vest to make yourself highly visible and with reflective tape on it is not such a bad thing to do. So it serves a double purpose. Jimmy says the ones he orders come with a belt and with pockets. Excellent. Like I said, excellent. We used to wear something similar to this on the flight line when I was in the Air Force. Our raincoats and our field jackets that we wore out on the flight line when we were fixing B-52 bombers had stitched into the fabric of our field gear was very reflective tape. We didn't wear the bright yellow because, being in the military, that's not really all that smart to put a big target on yourself. But on the flight line, we did wear gear that had the tape so that planes and trucks that were on the flight line didn't run you over. So it makes perfect sense. So here again, we can all join in with Seething Frog, who is a believer and an older gentleman. He's an elder amongst our people. And another reason I called it Keep It Simple, because let's stop dividing ourselves over minutia as far as our religious beliefs, all right? You got to remember, centralized religion is no different than centralized banking or centralized government. It's a control mechanism of the people, okay? Control mechanism. I had written here that the Aramaic expression, see if I can find it, when you're reading the Aramaic, it's the same word in Aramaic can be interpreted as leader, commander, or pastor. Could be, it's all three. Their word, they had one word for people in all three capacities. Why? Because a leader is a leader. Now, we call a leader, when it comes to matters of faith and spiritual, a pastor. If it's a military operation, we call him commander. If it's civil in nature, we just call him a leader, civic leader, okay? Well, the ancients had just one word, meaning you're the dude in charge, okay? It didn't matter if it was military, if it was civil, or, quote, religious, okay? So just think about that. Same word for all three posts. And it's the same word that in the ancient Greek for a slave, a servant, or a child, and sometimes even a wife, doulos. Same word. The context that it was used in determined what interpretation you would put with it. But it was the same word, doulos. And the significance of it back then was that you had somebody in authority over you. Today we call it slavery. They didn't call it slavery. They said everybody has somebody in authority over them, all the way up to the monarch or king. And the king actually does too, because Yahweh is watching over him. And so are the elders in his privy council, because nobody has a right to be a dictator. A biblical monarchy, and the monarch was elected, and he was to obey the scriptures. And he was to be watched over by the elders, and if he failed to do the job properly, he was to be deposed and a new monarch elected by the people. You see how that works? That's the monarchies of our people through many thousands of years. And it worked like a champ. Why did they want us to get into a three-branch government like we have here in the United States, or parliament over in the United Kingdom? Because it's corruptible. That's why they wanted you to get into it. Okay, everybody says, oh, no, we shouted out, no king but King Jesus and everything. Well, okay, but so did our European brethren believed in the Christ. They did quite well under monarchs until the Jews got involved. Okay, that was the problem. They got some bad monarchs who allowed Jews to come in and influence them, and also to get into debt to them, which upset the apple cart because they disobeyed the Father. We were never to become borrowers. We could be lenders, but never borrowers, because the borrower is a servant to the lender. The enemy knows that. So just because they didn't have enough strength of character to maintain the biblical monarchy doesn't mean that the biblical monarchy is not a proper form of government, because it is. I got news for you. We're not going to get out of this mess unless we go back to that. So this whole idea that Washington can fix Washington is ludicrous. The whole idea that England can be fixed by the lords over there in the chambers, no. Parliament isn't going to fix your problems either. Neither are the central governments of the other white nations of Europe. You got to scrap that whole idea. Those people are just part of the problem. They're not going to fix any of your problems. Those need to be scrapped. We need to get our own people, meaning of our own race, our own faith, to be our leaders, and to hold them up as either governors, as here in the States, governors of our states, and a monarch over all the states, or a monarch of each individual state. Doesn't matter. But groups of people have to pick a leader. Okay? Why? Because you can't get everybody on the same page. I've said it for years. Trying to get Israelites to all agree on doing something is like herding cats or chasing down chickens. It's the same thing. They all want to go their own way at their own speed. They all think they're smarter than the next guy. So getting unity amongst our people is nearly impossible. Ergo, the reason for a biblical monarchy. Now, nothing says that the monarch is a perfect man, but he's a man and he's singular in his thoughts and purposes. Therefore, he will make decisions as he feels are best for his family, which is his race, which is his nation. That's why you elected him as monarch. And he does not make his decisions alone. He takes the advice of his privy council. That goes back thousands of years, that whole principle. He calls in the elders who represent the people of the smaller districts and the states. It would be like the governor calling in a representative from each of the counties to sit on his privy council. What do? They bring the concerns of the people of the different counties to the table for the governor to understand it. You see how that works? And each of them in turn is also part of a group that are watching the monarch, watching for signs of treason, watching for signs of dementia, watching for signs of an ulterior motive, such as personal gain or wealth at the expense of the people. Now, you might say that sounds a lot like what we have today, but no, it's not. It's not quite the same. Because, again, the monarch has a lot of power. It's a little like you're seeing happen with Trump right now, okay? He's in a position where he could wield a lot of power. That's why patriots need to be on high alert, just like the Privy Council would be. Because if he decides to go the way of the New World Order, you've set him up as a savior when he could actually be the Antichrist, if he chose to be, because you're all treating him like he's a god, expecting him to solve all the problems. Well, he's not a god. He's a man. Okay? He's a presiding, we call it president, but it means presiding over the executive branch, one of the three branches of our government. He's not a dictator. But you're setting him up as one because things have gotten so bad. Well, how did things get so bad? The same group of people out of the District of Criminals. Okay? They're still there. The swamp is still there. They've been wounded slightly. They've been hindered slightly, but they're far from gone. And yet you've taken this guy Trump and you've set him up as a messiah. I don't think the real messiah is very happy about that. That's why I say everybody that's a patriot, every citizen soldier, every veteran should be on high alert right now. Because if this individual decided to take all of that power and all of that prestige and all of that support from the patriot group and all of a sudden do a 180 on us, it'd be tough to stop him, wouldn't it? Just saying. A word of caution. But this, the idea of the gilets jaunes or the yellow vests, I think it's a good idea myself. I was going to buy one anyway, so why not? Why not? I went to Washington with family 9 years ago, and we walked amongst 2 million of us there, and I'll tell you what, it was quite an experience. It was an epiphany, I'll tell you. I told my brother, you mark my words, this is a turning point in the history of this country. 2 million of our fellow Americans came out that day in Washington, D.C. to voice our complete contempt for that little mongrel that was in office and what was happening to our country. So it's not beyond belief that that could happen again. So again, keep it simple. Don't allow Pharisees to beat you up and try to cause division amongst our people with playing Pharisee with Yahweh's law. He said that my law is to be administered with mercy, and that's exactly what we should be doing. We should be administering to one another as brothers and sisters. Our goal should be unity. It should be strength. It should be a concern for each and every one of us, not trying to set yourself up as some kind of potentate or dictator or because you got an ego or you think you can make some bucks out of it. No, that's not setting yourself up as a leader. Our people need a standard. And in fact, there's a verse in the Bible, I don't have it in front of me, but it talks about the fact that Yahweh wants a standard raised for his people at this time. A standard. What is a standard? A standard could be a banner. Back in the days before all this electronics and whatever, the military, the large armies, when they went to battle, there were bannermen. That was their job in the army. They didn't do a lot of fighting. They had to carry the banners to let the king or the commander or the general know where his different units were fighting. And believe it or not, that's extremely critical. So this big, tall banner, it was important that the bannerman didn't get taken down so that the commander could see where his units were, what was going on. And the commander, likewise, had bannermen that would put up a different banner to tell the troops what to do. They'd already planned this out ahead of time, much like a playbook for the football team in high school. Okay, the coach is on the sideline. He has certain signals to the quarterback. He knows what play to call. You see what I'm saying? Commander on the battlefield does the same thing with flags and banners and whatnot. Ensigns are called. Well, the father wants the same thing right now for his men to take a stand and be the leaders at this time for his people. They're looking for a standard. That means the men need to rise up and put on their big boy pants and be men again. They got to be men again. And Jimmy says that, Dan, I just sent you a yellow vest. It's on the way. Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it, buddy. I'll look forward to be here. All right. Jimmy also sent me same address, sent me a nice MAGA hat back in the day when this all started. So I appreciate that, Jimmy. The only problem I got with it, though, is because the we're not seeing enough results, I don't think, personally. We said we'd give till the midpoint of January of 2019. And if I don't see some clear signals of some honesty and transparency, then I'm going to assume that it's nefarious things being done behind our backs. I don't want to hear about this. Well, you can't let the enemy know what you're doing. Yeah, I understand that, but you could be more transparent on your agenda, your motives, etc. How you accomplish them, now that can be kept somewhat secret. But 2 years, over 2 years into this conflict, and the communists have taken control of the House of Representatives. So what are we going to do? Wait till they take control of the Senate and possibly the White House? I would choose to do something before then. All right. The communists, just because of what happened with the House, but I think also because the world leaders for this communist movement, and certainly the Talmud thumpers, are behind this, I think they can sense an awakening going on, and they're starting to panic a little bit. They want to move quickly. Scripture supports this, where Yahweh said, I'll put a hook in their jaw and pull them out ahead of time, meaning I will cause them to feel paranoia. I will cause them to make a move prematurely and expose themselves. And that's exactly what the terrors are doing. Okay, their heads are sticking up just like the terror in the wild, which is the darnel plant, a tall weed with black toxic seeds, unlike wheat, which is bent over with golden grains of wheat, symbolic of Yahweh's people who are humble, and they're bent over with large grains of ripened wheat, meaning with many good deeds, many good fruit. A true believer that practices what he believes. All right? So see the symbology of that? It's a perfect analogy and a perfect parable. The darnel plant, unlike the wheat, has no humility. They're haughty and proud. Take a look at the Talmud thumpers and all of them working with them, the communists in Washington. They have no shame. They have no character. There's no patriotism. They're not even sane. They are literally insane. And they sure as hell are not biblical, not moral people at all. They are completely like Lucifer, their father. They believe in the rights of man, and Yahweh and his law can go to hell. That's their opinion. So I believe that Seething Frog has a great idea. Maybe it's time that we join our fellow white brothers and sisters in the various European countries and even here in Canada with the Yellow Vest movement as a way of showing these demagogues, these oligarchies, that we the people outnumber them tremendously. We have the power, as our founding fathers said in our Constitution, all power is inherent in the people. It's inherent in the people. I'll just read a couple real quick quotes right here. George Washington, when government takes away a citizen's right to bear arms, it becomes a citizen's duty to take away government's privilege to govern. And even Jimmy with Bank versus You says here, we not only have the power, it is our duty. Amen. Exactly right. And then I just picked one randomly because that's my home state, Pennsylvania's Constitution, under Article 1, Section 2, Declaration of Rights, all power. Is it segregated? Is there any division here? No, it says all power is inherent in the people. Period. Doesn't say part of it, doesn't say 30% of it, doesn't say 50% of it. It says all power. And all free governments are founded on their authority. Whoa! Yeah, our authority. It's time we call out these bastards for what they are. Whores and prostitutes selling us down the river for financial gain with their banker buddies, their Talmud-thumping banker buddies, and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness, meaning we gave them the right to be public servants in order to secure our peace, safety, and happiness. For the advancement of these ends, now these ends meaning peace, safety, and happiness. For the advancement of these ends, they, meaning us, the people, have at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish their government in such manner as they may think proper. So wording such as this is in the federal constitution, and by requirement, it was in every colony that wished to join the union. Their state, the sovereign states, had to have a constitution that guaranteed at least the same things that the federal. Some of them go into much more detail. In fact, if you read many of the state constitutions when it talks about the right to keep and bear arms, it is much more explicit than the federal. Much more explicit. Basically saying, our right to keep and bear arms may not be infringed in any way, shape, or form. Period. Because it's our line of defense against what? A rogue government. It's also called a tyranny. Thomas Jefferson said, the constitutions of most of our states and of the United Sovereign States assert that all power, here again with all power, is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed. This is why I put up a new page on my website, Lock and Load. A lot of good information on there, folks. If you don't know much about what kind of weaponry to get, where to get it, who's got better prices, we've done the research for you. And again, we don't get a dime from any of them. This is not a sponsorship thing. Okay? Nothing on my website is a sponsorship thing. It's there because it's the best information I have found. It's as factual as I can find. That they are entitled to freedom of person, freedom of religion, freedom of property, and freedom of the press, which would include freedom of speech, which we know that the Jewish-run organizations such as Google, YouTube, Twitter, and all the rest of them, Facebook, are run by these workers of iniquity, probably tied in with the Mossad over there in Itzalai. I will almost guarantee that. They are spying on us, and they are using technology to weed out anybody saying anything that they don't like. And they're claiming, as they always do, their lips are moving, so we know they're lying. They're claiming that it is fake news, or it's harmful, or it's conspiracy theory. And again, this is a CIA term, conspiracy theory, from the 1960s. And it was used to suppress people who were trying to tell the truth about what was going on. Back then, it was about John F. Kennedy. Okay? So the government has used its money and influence to hire people to research how best to manipulate people and can do mind control on them. And that's where they come up with this mockingbird media and propaganda and such things as, quote, conspiracy theory. Well, the truth of the matter is it was not conspiracy theory, it was conspiracy facts. But they wanted you, the people that were ignorant, to put that information in a category of fake because it was, quote, conspiracy theory. You got to remember the CIA was founded by the Dulles brothers, the Dulles Jews, who worked for a large Jewish lawyer firm before they went into the United States government. The whole CIA was their concoction, especially Alan Dulles. Okay? Just read the book, The Brothers, John Foster Dulles, Alan Dulles, and Their Secret World War. Excellent book. Excellent book. Blackstone Intelligence Network just did a show talking about government interference in regime change and how much we've done. Most people aren't even aware of just how many innocent people have had their lives destroyed, either by blackmail, misinformation, coups, and even assassination by this government, all in the name of national security when in fact it was business. Even the U.S. Marine Corps General Smedley Butler in his book War is a Racket alludes to this same thing. After a very distinguished career, and when he was active duty, he was the highest decorated military man in the United States at that time. So he was no fly in the wall, no run Johnny come lately kind of guy. He was in the United States Marine Corps as a general and the highest decorated soldier we had at the time. And yet he said, in my career, the wars and battles I fought was for corporate America. Had nothing to do with the safety of this land. Nothing at all. Okay, that's straight from a U.S. general. No different than Douglas MacArthur, another U.S. general, exposing it. Another U.S. general, George S. Patton. Four-star general told us at the end of World War II, when he was still over in France and Germany trying to clean up the mess, when he got to witness what the Bolshevik Jews did with the Red Army out of Russia to the German people, and he very loudly proclaimed, "We fought the wrong enemy." Think about that for just a second. Okay? Just think about that. A four-star general who actually should have been our five-star general instead of that piece of dirt Eisenhower who was just a flunky admin type. He wasn't even a soldier. He was in the military, but he wasn't a military general. He was an administrative general. He was a typical Talmud-thumping paper pusher. But they put him in that high-ranking position because, again, he was a Talmud thumper. He would do whatever they asked him to do. So George S. Patton, if you think about his vantage point as a four-star general, having fought his way across France and into Germany, he wanted to keep on going to take Moscow because he saw the Red Terror, the Jew Bolshevik communists, as a much greater threat to Europe and the world than the Germans ever were. In fact, he wrote rather, I would say, very generous and kind things about the German people after the war, because reality started to set in, much as it did to the Royal Canadian Air Force gentleman I interviewed many years ago, Ian MacDonald from Ontario, Canada. And he said virtually the exact same thing, because Canada had stationed him in Germany at the end of the war to help with the cleanup and to do some other things. And he came away with the exact same conclusion that General George S. Patton did. We fought the wrong enemy. And then he was personally attacked because he was stationed in the Middle East, and he had all kinds of contracts to do business with various Arab nations in the Middle East with Canada, would have made them multiple billions of dollars, and every one of his proposals got shot down from the Home Office in Canada. And then he started researching it, and you know what he found out? Yep, the same Talmud thumpers had infiltrated the government of Canada, and they were in charge of his department, and they did not want to see Canada doing business with Arab nations. So here again, the Jew, who claims everybody hates them because they're Jewish, whereas the Jew hates everybody else because they're not Jewish. They hate Christians, they hated Christ, they hate the Muslims, they hate the Hindus, they hate the blacks, they hate every race, they hate every faith. That's not them. That's their religion, teaches that. That's not my words. That's the words of rabbis. Okay? We're all here to be their slaves, and yet they're telling us, see how they always project? We hear a lot about projection today. They project on you and me and all the other races what they actually are, which is profligate racists. Look that word up, profligate racists. Okay, but the Jews are famous for that all through history, projecting on other people what they actually are. Anytime you hear somebody talking about, wow, man, this group or that group, you know, they made accusations about whites, browns, yellows, whatever, then we found out that, man, just like the Catholic Church proclaims itself to be the vicars of Christ, and you find out they're pedophiles. They're into drug trafficking, money laundering. They're into human sex slave trade, organ heart. They're into all this stuff. Well, that's the hallmark of a Jew, to get you to think that they're one thing when they're completely the opposite. That's why they hated Christ. That's why they orchestrated his murder, because he was denouncing them. And the world is starting to wake up to this revelation. Just as the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 9, talks about. Those that would call themselves of Judah, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. A lot of stuff going on in Venezuela, and a lot of misinformation from both sides. Even Jim Willie, who lives down in Costa Rica, I asked him about it. He said a lot of it depends on the Venezuelan military. You need to find out which way the military is going, and that's probably the truth. Florida Maquis, M-A-Q-U-I-S, which is that comes from the Second World War. The French resistance went by the term Maquis. The Florida Maquis put out a couple of very good videos. He speaks fluent Spanish, so I have a feeling he's got connections in Central and South America, certainly amongst the Spanish speakers. And he was saying that we're being fed a bunch of lies again, that this is nothing more than regime change. And I have to admit, the modus operandi, the MO of what's going on and who's saying what, fits perfectly with the way Libya was dealt with traitorously by the United States. And Iraq, same thing, regime change. It goes back to Serbia, same thing. It goes back to Syria, same thing. Goes back to Afghanistan, same thing. Vietnam, same thing. Korea, same thing. Here we go. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Okay, not rocket science, figure it out. That's why I said keep it simple, people. Keep it simple. Now, don't get too involved, like I said. And as far as this religiosity, this beating people up with somebody's personal theology, it's like somebody called me up today and said, Dan, the rabbis are over at the other station talking about that the whole reason for marriage is for child rearing. I said, really? That's interesting, because when Eve was created, there were no children. Isn't that interesting? That's funny. There was no commandment for Adam and Eve to have children. Okay? Eve was put there because Adam asked for a help meet. Help him do what Yahweh wanted the men to do. So you could transfer that same thought process to us as a whole. We men need the ladies to be our help meets. Not our leaders. Not to kiss our butts. Not to be echo chambers. But certainly to be supporters, so that we can be the men Yahweh intends us to be. Because I'm going to tell you something. Any man out there, let's take King David for an example, because he's one of the best in the Bible. Okay? He's one of the best in the Bible. He's one of my favorite heroes of the Bible. Not because he was perfect. Hell no, he wasn't perfect. But he loved Father more than any man up to that point in time. He loved the Father. And he had attributes that were so good that he had hundreds of women that said, I want that dude to be my cover. The father of my children, to be my supporter, my protector, etc., etc., etc. And they were willing to be one of hundreds, because they said, I want that software and that hardware DNA in my children. I want the best. I'm not going to settle for less. I'm not going to go out and just grab one guy and say, well, hey, I got mine. This is my guy. I hate that term. This is my guy. I hate it. No, we're Yahweh's men. We don't belong to females. Sorry, but we don't. Okay? They said, this is going to be the man that will be in charge of me. I willingly make myself a doulos in the Greek language. I will be his doulos. I accept him in authority over me. Which goes back to the story of Adam and Eve in the garden in the book of Genesis. And what the price for their fall was that the love of Eve would be towards her husband. He didn't say that to Adam. And that doesn't mean what you think. What it means is that her bonding to Adam would be complete. In other words, she would accept him as her cover and her Lord, if you will, in little L, Lord. And by making that decision, put herself under his authority. But he didn't say that to Adam. Why is that? Because Father knows his law, and he knows who his men. He built this, remember? He's the one that assembled the DNA. Men aren't built with that same restriction. They're just not. That doesn't mean a man can't live that lifestyle, meaning monogamous, if he chooses. Certainly he could, and there are many that do. But the problem with our people is that we denounce the individuals that live the other way. We denounce them. I've seen it. I've seen congregations, for instance, Jonathan David Brown, our dear brother, the singer-songwriter that passed away last year. Dear brother had a second wife, and his congregation turned on him. Because I talked to him on the phone about that. Turned on him. And all he did was, and he did it because his wife said, that Susie, who worked with him a lot, was by herself. Why don't we bring her into the family? I mean, she's here all the time working with you, a great friend, blah, blah, blah. It made perfect sense. And his wife, who raised his children, said to do it. It was her idea, much like Sarah with Abraham. And so when Jonathan did it, they turned on him. And I denounced them for doing that, and so did many others. The good news was, a few months after they did that, that entire congregation came back to Jonathan and apologized to him. I guess the Holy Spirit dealt with them, and they apologized for the viciousness of which they attacked them for just trying to be generous and to help out somebody by making them part of his family. You see what I'm saying? We have a medical profession that says, and states of this union that have said, that you can cut a baby apart coming out of the womb, being delivered. You can cut it to pieces. Doesn't get a rise out of any of you. Not to the point of hitting the streets. Not to getting in somebody's face about it. But here was a brother that was just trying to help out a sister by making her part of his family, making a unit, and they came together to jump on him? Do you see the irony that I see? The hypocrisy? That's what pisses me off amongst our people. As I stated to a gentleman earlier today, after 19 years, do you know how many Jews have contacted me to attack me? The only ones that did were the Southern Poverty Law Center, and that was by putting a pushpin on the town I was in and claimed that I was a white supremacist. But they never bothered to harass me, call me, cost me my job, call me bad names. They simply put it out there for any of the sheep or any of the brain dead. Okay? That's what was going on. So I haven't had any blacks, any Orientals, any Arabs. No, I haven't had any problem with them. You know who gives me a hard time over the message? White people. The very people that this scripture was written for, they're the people who give me the hard time over what I teach. It's amazing to me. I sometimes, alone at night thinking about things, just wonder, what the hell's wrong with our people? It just doesn't make sense. What am I telling you that hurts so bad? Just because you've fallen into a fantasy world that you've created, you hate the messenger? And then I remember, oh yeah, look at Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Joel and all the rest of them trying to talk to our brain-dead, stiff-necked, bone-headed white people. Because they always think they know more than the next guy. And when you simply try to point something out to them that they might not be going in the right direction, they attack you. Okay? They don't want to get up and attack a government that's raping them of their hard-earned income, raping them of their rights, raping their children, flooding their country with aliens, invading our country, raping and destroying your founding documents, and now saying it's okay to murder a child as it's being delivered. Doesn't get them off their ass or out of the pews. But by God, if you say something about the writings of Paul, or by God, if you say anything about circumcision, or if you say anything about multiple wives, they come out of that chair like there's no tomorrow. Hypocrisy. That's what it is. Plain and simple. Jimmy says, Dan, I had to back off under advisement of the retired brother. I certainly understand that. That is, in fact, that's actually commendable that he cares enough to advise you. But I cannot sit and watch this BS continue. What is next? We can abort up to the age of 40? Well, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The greatest hypocrites, the greatest apostasy is today. I can't think of any time in history where we have been so ignorant of even the basics of Father's laws. It's unbelievable. But again, and I like to use the term for the white men who understand the predicament we're in, I call them the white stallions. And if you look up the definition in a good dictionary of what a stallion is, you'll understand why I picked that word. The white stallions, to me, are the white men who have said, I will take on that charge. I'm going to do my best to be the most fit, the most well-informed, and conduct myself as a leader amongst my people. Study the word to be approved so I understand it, but also study what's going on, current events, civics, science, a little bit of science, why not? Instead of wasting your time watching that electronic toilet, grab a book, listen to a tape, put the Pimsleur CDs in and pick up a second language or maybe a third language like our ancestors did. Okay? They often could speak four or five languages. Okay? And it doesn't mean that you hate your language, but wouldn't it be nice to listen in on other people and they think you don't know what they're saying and listen in and you'd probably be surprised some of the neat stuff you could learn when you can listen in on their conversations because they don't think white people have enough gumption to learn anything today. And a lot of them don't. Okay? But that doesn't mean you have to be one of them. So the men, the white stallions, need to learn how to rise up and work together and to, most of all, be a focal point for the people around them. They need to show how to be good leaders in business. They need to show how to be good husbands. They need to show how to be good fathers. And they certainly need to know how to teach the ways of war and the weapons of war. Okay? The ways of war and the weapons of war. That's not a suggestion, ladies and gentlemen. That's a commandment. And the white stallions will do that. And one of the biggest points, as was brought up by the brother that called me today, is for God's sake, stop being hypocrites, folks. We even talked about the fact that modern day Christianity, I don't even like that term Christianity anymore, because it associates me with this whitewashed sepulcher business out here that's going on, churchianity. I like to just be followers of the way or believers in the Christ. But we talked about the fact that so many of these so-called leaders amongst our people are nothing more than hypocrites, saying one thing but doing something completely different. And the tremendous need for our people to have examples to look up to. Now, we all know Christ himself is obviously the perfect example. No doubt about that, okay? But sometimes people need something to actually talk to or look at and see the principles that Christ taught embodied in a man. It edifies them. It gives them comfort. It gives them a focal point, if you will. Oh, so that's what it looks like if I do it right. That's why I enjoyed teaching the younger guys when I was in the Air Force and later on when I got into the electrical power industry. One of the greatest joys was to take a young guy out and teach him how to work on electronics or pneumatics or hydraulics or computer systems or security systems. We worked on it all. Control rod drive systems on the reactor, radiation monitoring systems. We worked on all of that. And many times they didn't understand. They had the book learning, which was part of the apprenticeship program, but they didn't know how to apply it in the field. And when a stallion takes them into the field, instead of browbeating them and making them feel like idiots because they don't know, but actually say, come on, come on, let's go over and work on this control valve over here. Or let's go over and work on that hall monitor for radiation over there. Come on, I'll show you how to do it. Nothing nicer and more fulfilling than to see a young man look up at you and smile and say, yeah, come on, Dan, let's go. And then actually enjoy a good conversation while you're tearing a monitor apart and trying to figure out why it's not working right. And then when you get the right parts and you put it in there and it starts working again, and how satisfying that is. See, Yahweh allowed me to experience that, so I can tell you that's exactly how it works. And you want a friend for life? For instance, when I came down here to Florida, I ran into a guy I hadn't seen in 25 years. And you know what the first thing he did when he saw me on the site is took me around and introduced me to all of the younger guys in the shop. And you know what I heard him say? He said, hey guys, this is the guy I told you about that I met years ago in Ohio and taught me everything I know about pneumatic control systems. You want to talk about a humbling experience, but also a reinforcement of the principles taught within these scriptures and basic common sense. I didn't even realize it that when Xavier was working for me that he didn't know anything about pneumatics. And a lot of the stuff we worked on at that time was pneumatic, meaning driven by air, compressed air. And so when he came to me one day, and I still remember the day he did it, he came in and I was the boss, and he said, Dan, I can't do this. I said, well, what do you mean you can't do it? You're an instrument technician, aren't you? And he said, yeah, but I've only worked on electrical stuff. I said, well, come on, let's go, and I'll show you. I'll walk you through it, and then you'll know how to do it. And we did that for quite a few jobs. And pretty soon he was able to go out and do it all by himself. And then he came down here to Florida, and he in turn taught the young men in this shop who came out of the military with only electronic experience. Do you see how that works? You pass it on. You pass it on. You don't hoard it. You keep it passing it on. The knowledge, the training, we're family. They've got us trying to be isolated from one another. And that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. And that's one of the reasons we're having so much trouble right now. Everybody wants to be a commander. Everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to know everything about this, the equipment, and they won't share it because it might diminish their standing. When the truth of the matter is that you actually elevate yourself when you're willing to share information, to show that you care more about the individuals you're working with than you do your own ego. Jimmy says in here, men sharpen men, otherwise we fail. Yeah, that's exactly right. So again, like I said, try to keep things simple, folks. There's a lot of stuff we don't know, and don't allow anybody out there to belittle you or to bash you and to make you feel unworthy. All right? Family comes first. Blood is thicker than water. Those are all old sayings from when I was a boy, and they're as true now as they were that back then. Blood is thicker than water. We're family, and they have caused us to divide amongst ourselves, and we need to stop that nonsense. All right? So that's pretty much everything I had to talk over with you today. I was going to bring Jimmy on here for some final comments. Jimmy, welcome to the program, buddy. How you been? Oh, You got yourself muted, or did I pick the wrong? Oh, I picked the wrong thing. Hold on a minute. I forgot you got a double entry on here. All right, now you're
tap,
on.
Tap, tap, tap. Is this thing on?
Yeah, now it is.
Hey, Brother Dan, and others that have emailed me and called me. No, I didn't die. No, I didn't give up. Been very busy on things that are going to help us with this fight in the real business. Dan and I have intermittently kept in touch by other means. But it's nice to be back, Dan. And, yeah, I did receive a cautionary phone call because I have indicated that I have had visits to my radio studio, although not since. But I'll tell you, when Roger Stone got arrested,
yeah,
my brother, which is retired, and I've said this on the show, is retired FBI Secret Service, served three presidents, and that is God's truth. He called me and he said, you have got to lay low. And he's behind what we're doing here, and he's as pissed off as we are. Okay? He's very disappointed in the Bureau, in what's going on with all the shenanigans. But, you know, I gave it 10 years, Dan, and you're definitely more senior in this mission than I am. But none of us do any good being limited or being incarcerated or being shut up. So with that said, look what's happened. How much water has flowed under the dam since I was on your show last time, Dan. This New York thing, they not only passed this egregious abortion thing, but they stood up and applauded. It was a standing ovation, Dan.
Yeah.
And then today, right, today, because I'm still in it. I'm just kind of not as vocal anymore, but I'm back. I'm back in the New York groove. But Virginia, I forget her name. She's some Virginian elected official, and they were asking her this, that, and the other, and the committee said, well, so the woman's on the table dilated, and so your bill authorizes, and not just doctors, ladies and gentlemen, it can be a nurse practitioner, it could be a first-year med student in junior college, can eradicate that life. And she started, you know, with the side skirt, and he said no. He said, are you telling me, and I can't even talk about this, Dan, and I'm a strong man, but it brings just anger and tears at the same time. And she said, well, yes, Senator, the bill does cover basically killing the baby, and like I put in your chat room, what's coming is legalized murder. It's coming. It's, and frankly, it's already here now. But my point, sir, is to have a state pass a bill under the guise of freedom of choice and whatever, whatever. What the egregious thing was, and it's out there. I don't know if you've seen it, Dan, and your listeners. The entire chamber, when it was passed, the vote passed, went into a standing applause, mm-hmm, like they just heard Mozart.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, and your listeners, when is enough enough? I'm not inciting violence. And, Dan, I sent you one of the deluxe vests, and I sent myself one. It'll be there Friday. Dan, we have got to figure out a way to legally get out there and perform our duty and not be shut down. There's a sheriff in Washington State, which I absolutely admire, which is odd for him. They're passing bills up there, and he's like, I am not going to uphold it. He cites the Constitution. He's an old white guy like you and me, and he's not putting up with it anymore. He's got... What's the guy there, Arizona? Sheriff
Joe,
Sheriff Joe, right?
Ohio.
As much as I respect Joe, this guy makes Joe look like Barney Fife. This guy's pissed.
Yeah,
I've heard he's an old sheriff. Yeah,
I've heard more sheriffs have joined him recently too.
Yeah, well, good, and you know,
that's where we're at, Jimmy. We need civil disobedience. Okay, that's what that is. We need the people need to engage in civil disobedience because the legislators are insane.
That is our only cure, Dan. Dan, Pastor Dan, Commander Dan, that is our only cure in my educated, humble opinion, sir. And, again, I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Our men have met. I've met you a couple times that people haven't known it. And, frankly, I think it's time to do it again. But even our small group that has gotten together in person, broken bread, and had a beer, we need more men, more trusted men in a situation that we can trust them. And again, I'm not inciting violence, and I'm not looking to have a knock on my door at 3 in the morning because I'm trying to get everybody to go, you know. But this is, are we going to let this go? I'll yield after this. How far are we going to let this go?
Well, I like what Seething Frog, and that's his name of his YouTube channel if anybody wants to look it up. Seething, S-E-E-T-H-I-N-G, Seething Frog, did an excellent video, and he's pissed like all of us, any decent man would be, that this is just absolutely criminal. And he's calling for Gilets Jaunes, which is the yellow vest, to start popping up here in America. By the millions. And personally, I think he's right. I think this is a good time. Our brothers and sisters in Canada and all over Europe are meeting in the streets by the thousands. They've had enough. We certainly have had more than enough justification to be in the streets. And if our servants try to stop us, then it'll turn violent. It will turn violent.
I'm going to circle back to what you said, Brother Dan. You know what? You and I have had off-air calls in the last year or so, and you and I have met in person a couple, three times. And I'm not suggesting anything other than I have frickin' had it. And, you know, if somebody keeps throwing litter on my lawn and I know who it is and I'm patient, I'm going to eventually get in my car, go down to the house, and whoop some ass. How much more of this shit are we going to take? How many dump truck loads of shit has happened since you and I have even talked, other than intermittent texts? Really?
That's what I said. It's getting worse day by day. It's in your face.
Well, if we don't do something, it's going to get, as my brother, my mom used to tease us, it's going to get more worser than, and of course worser isn't a term, but when is the breaking point? When does the straw break the camel's back? When does the last drop of water that we put in a 12-ounce glass break the surface tension of the water, and we drop another drop in, and it overflows? When?
Oh, it's a good question. It's a good question. I've been asking it for a long time. You have to raise the consciousness of the people up, and you have to, at this point, I think the people need to see standards, and that's where the real men need to take a stand so that they can see that they're not alone. A lot of people are afraid. See, they think they're the only ones. And they need to see, just like they're seeing in France, they now realize that, no, they're not alone. They're actually the majority. And it's growing like crazy over there. Because
well,
now
you nailed
they realize.
It. That's exactly what the other side wants us to think we're not. They're keeping most people economically poor. They're putting out all this government shutdown, you know, all these poor TSA workers. Listen, Dan, I'm not going to sit here and give financial advice, but if I earned a salary of $80,000 to $125,000 a year and I didn't put a little bit away for a rainy day, then shame on me. I mean, I do feel for these people as far as a man or a woman, but we need our paycheck. We need our paycheck. Now, listen, you wanted pig. First of all, you work for, you know, you're non-essential government, which you're lucky to have a fucking job. And secondly, if you bring down that kind of coin and you don't have enough put away to survive a year and you're wanting over 2 weeks or a month, I don't feel for you, Dan. I'm sorry. You know I'm compassionate. I help anybody I can. But when you're going to come to me whining, when you have a job that's paying you that kind of money, which really you don't do jack shit for anyway, you're not helping the country. You're not creating anything. You're not building anything. You don't hire anybody. You're worthless, man. And I don't mean that negatively. Get off your ass. Get up in the morning and go do something for the community. And boy, I'm going to calm down because I have a note on my screen. Do not go off on Doc's or on Dan's show. But ladies and gentlemen, we have got to get our shit together right fucking now, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's Wednesday, so I use the expletives, and I wouldn't do it on your Sunday show. But Doc or Dan, I keep calling you Doc because I had a phone call today. But Dan, it's nice to come back. You are definitely on my short list of hot list to call, and maybe the cool down period, you know, gave me a chance to think and regroup. But we have got to do something, Dan. And you want my prediction? You want my, I'm not going to call it a prophecy, but we have this lull. I didn't let you answer yes. I just wanted to, but we have this lull with this, the government's reopened until, what is it, Valentine's Day or some bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we could get the Super Bowl going and we could have the State of the Union this Tuesday and all this happy shit. Man, we are being super triple played here. And let's go back real quick if I got a couple minutes. If you really look at this and the way Nancy Pelosi is behaving in public, signing all her things where there are 50 million pens to make a mark, put a pen down, make a mark, put a pen down. I never got that bullshit anyway. But she is emulating the President of the United States. Now, let's just go here. I don't know if we have enough time to let them pull this off before 2020, but if the system somehow gets rid of Trump and Pence, whether it be, God forbid, assassination or legalities, Nancy Pelosi will be President of the United States sitting, and she can pick, the way I read the law, her vice president, and I'll bet you my last fucking Cheerio that she would pick Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton would be like Dick Cheney was to wimpy George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't think I'm reaching on that.
Probably not. Probably not. You know, we're in some troubled waters. There's no doubt about it. There's a storm on the horizon, and I'm in prayer every day. And as Father gives me the unction, I'm speaking it, and that's why I'm thinking about the yellow vests for right now. But at the same time, that's why I put the lock and load page on the website. Our men need to be seriously thinking about.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, I'm anxious.
The ways of war and the weapons of war. So, but anyway, we're getting close to the end here. If you have any final ones, because Henry, I see, is on here, and I wanted to catch his comment before we jump off.
No, sir. And once again, thanks for giving me a couple of minutes to, you know, kind of breathe out. And Dan, I'm always here for you. I never left you. I just
took a break.
I had to. Yeah, well, I didn't take a break. I took a break, and a lot of the good things I have going, which is going to help us, have come to fruition in the business that I've spoken with you on. And real quick before I let you run, are all the guys still together? We still have all the guys, right?
Yep.
Good. All right. Well, I stand ready, and I'm here, and I'll go to mute here, and if you want to get my 2 cents later, great. Otherwise, thanks again, Dan. God bless you. God bless all your listeners, and Yahweh bless you, Dan.
Yep. Thanks, Jimmy. Yahweh bless you, too, buddy. Okay, Henry, you're on the air. I didn't know if you had a comment or not. I just was, because usually you have a little something you want to add. So I wanted to bring you on and give you a chance to do that if you want.
Well, yeah. First of all, it's nice to hear from Jimmy. I hadn't heard from Jimmy in quite some time. But I'll try to chip in here if I can. But it's just, it is staggering. It's absolutely staggering to see what's going on, especially in this country now, when you talk about that abortion law in New York, for example. I am just, I don't know how much more needs to be done, how much more blatant this evil has to get before people rise up. I just can't imagine that we've taken it this long, not done anything to kind of fight back against it. I mean, other than, you know, people talking about it in social media and so forth. It seems like in Europe they've got more gumption and a little more balls than we do. At least they're out in the streets. I'm wearing my yellow vest, but I don't see anybody else around here doing it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but I live in the country. I'm on a back road. I'll take a 20-minute walk, and I might see three cars. So, you know, it's not making much of a statement out where I am. But I don't know. It's just crazy. Oh, my God. I'm just, you know.
Well, most of the guys I know have gone apoplectic. Because of the situation, extreme anger, extreme frustration, you know. And again, I don't have the playbook. Father's got the playbook. I don't have it, so I can only tell you that this can't be making him happy. We know his judgment's not around the corner. It's almost like we're begging for it. Instead of mankind getting on his knees and looking for forgiveness and saying, "I need to repent and change my ways," we're actually flaunting our depravity in front of the Father's face. And that's demanding that he bring judgment on us. And I consider that a completely insane way to think. And I can't wrap my head around anybody that doesn't want to prevent that. Why would you want Father's judgment? I mean, even if there were no God, okay, even if there weren't, we're on a course for self-destruction. Everything we're doing goes against the laws of nature. Everything we're doing is the same thing civilizations have done in the past that ruined them. Everything. And yet
totally
we're doing it. It's a form of insanity.
We're totally going against the natural order. It's just, I mean, the universe is governed by God's, by Yahweh's laws, and we're just... Man, it's happier, more successful when we learn, you know, these laws are for our own good, but we're just doing everything, you know, opposite of that. It's just society should be structured according to these laws, and then we're doing everything in opposition. The food, the medicine, we should have natural medicine, clean water, air, everything, and we're killing and destroying everything, and the morality is another issue. And now the warmongering seems to be picking up. But this whole Venezuela thing, I've heard different spins on it like you probably have. I mean, I'm inclined to believe that this is absolutely regime change again. I mean, when you think about the oil reserves in Venezuela, I mean, it's just
yeah.
It seems pretty obvious that that's the reason. And
right.
I see a Vietnam 2.0 coming.
Well, the thing of it is, the people are wiser as to the machinations of our so-called leaders, more so today than ever before. And I believe this is going to not go as easily for them as they think. Right. And it could get ugly. There is a chance that it could get ugly. Yeah, there certainly are. But
I mean, it could get ugly on the home front here. It could get real ugly over there, too, because I'm not sure, but isn't Venezuela kind of like the jungle?
Well, there's a lot of jungle in Venezuela. Yeah, Venezuela and Colombia both. There's jungle, certainly is.
So, as Vietnam proved, we don't do so well when we're, that's not our natural environment for fighting purposes. We shouldn't be.
I would highly recommend anybody that wants to know a good point of view about Venezuela, go to the YouTube channel Florida Maquis, MAQUIS. He does some of the best analysis of what's going on down there, and he did one tonight. He had a lot of his fellow veterans in the military guys die when they went into, I think it was Argentina he was talking about. And there was times that we've gone into Colombia and different places like that. We got eaten up pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
Now, his point was the people that he and his fellow, I believe he's ex-Marine, he and his fellow Marines went against the, I can't remember the initials he used, but they were kind of like guerrillas. I believe it was in Colombia, but I'm not sure. Okay, but it wasn't Venezuela. It was another one of the countries down there. So anyway, he said they went against them, and they took losses. He goes, there were a lot of flag-draped coffins that came out of that conflict. And he said, these guys in Venezuela and in Colombia, these militia and these different cartels and things like that, he goes, they make the group that we went up against look like choir boys. They are much more violent, much better armed, much better organized, and the jungles that they are in much worse shape than the ones we were in. He said, we are going to get chewed up.
Quagmire, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so it'll be another Vietnam. But that's what the globalists want, a protracted war, bringing the body bags home, which allows them to put the drugs into it like they did in Vietnam. A lot of the coffins came in, were full of cocaine, heroin, whatever, drugs. Okay, so they get to ship the drugs here. They did get to kill off a bunch of white guys and some black guys too and whatnot. They keep everything in turmoil so the bankers can come in and charge exorbitant interest on all the loans that are taken out. So it's a win for all of the globalists. Okay, a lot of people dying, chaos, medicines are needed, so the pharmaceuticals make out, the bankers make out, the military-industrial complex makes out, the Pentagon pieces of shit that are out there, they don't actually have to get their hands dirty, so they sit in their ivory towers in the Pentagon, sending off our sons and daughters to bleed the ground red for their damn economic adventures. It's sick.
Yeah.
It's sick. And it's all for regime change because Venezuela is sitting on a lot of natural resources, not the least of which is oil, lots and lots of oil, as well as minerals and diamonds and all. Venezuela is a treasure chest of resources.
Yeah. I think other than Saudi Arabia, I think they're the second largest supplier of oil, aren't they?
Well, I don't know if they supply that much, but they're sitting on that much. They've got as much or more oil than Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
Well, here's another kicker for you. We're sitting on as much oil as Saudi Arabia.
We consume so damn much, though.
Well, yeah, but we don't know. We're not pulling it out of the ground. We're not refining it because it would be too cheap. You would get gasoline for probably about 25 cents a gallon if we processed our own oil. Well, they don't want that. They want to make a fortune off of the foreign oil. Because when they bring it in from Saudi Arabia, they're going to claim, oh, it costs us so much money to get, oy vey, it costs us so much money to get it out of the ground, and then we have to ship it over here. Oh, we got to have $3 a gallon. Well, if you're digging it up out of your own ground at about $1 a barrel, which is what the cost of the oil near the surface is, about $1 a barrel, okay, that's it. So your gasoline would be like the people in Saudi Arabia. What are they paying for gas? 15 cents a gallon. 15 cents a gallon. Our handlers don't want us to have gasoline that cheap. So that's why we don't develop our own fields in Oklahoma and Texas and things like that. And the stuff coming out of Alaska, we did the Alaskan pipeline with the theory that this is going to make us energy independent. Where does all the oil coming out of Alaska go? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Japan and China. Okay? So they lied about that. Exxon and Pastor Lindsey Williams, if you read his books, he talks all about it. We were fed another lie. We spent all kinds of taxpayer money supporting Exxon and all those people up there on the North Slope. They found the oil, huge deposits of oil. Where's all that oil going? To make it cheaper for us here in the States? Oh, no. We're shipping it over to our competitors in Asia.
Freaking unreal. Yep.
Okay? So why are guys like me upset and Jimmy upset and other people? Because I've lived a lifetime of these lies. I was in Vietnam. I had friends I lost. I had cousins that were wounded or killed. Okay? I lost family members in the Second World War and the First World War. Okay? All of them lies.
Yep.
Okay? I've lost family over this bullshit. Not to mention the time I spent in. Fortunately, I didn't get shot at, but I was still in. I could have. I had orders for Vietnam and Thailand and Guam.
Yep. You must have just caught the tail end of Nam because I just missed. I had my draft papers, and I graduated high school in 1974, and it pretty much was over by then. So
yeah,
I just
It ended in 1975, okay? And, you know, the irony is because I had a draft number of only 47, and they were drafting up to 180-something, so I knew I was going to get drafted. So I enlisted so I could get the schools I wanted. Okay, that's what my preacher at the church told me. He was an ex-Army guy, and so he said, yeah, you run down to the AFI station, take the test, and that way you can at least get the education you want out of your military service. And I said, wow, that's pretty good, because I was just going to go in the Army. So I ended up going to the Air Force because they had some of the best electronic schools. And while I was in basic training, they ended the draft. So talk about a kick in the head.
Oh, wow. So,
I was actually at basic training when the draft was ended, so I wouldn't have been drafted after all. But I don't regret it. It was a good learning experience. Met some great guys. It helped toughen me up, teach me some discipline. I got great electronics training and a lot of hands-on. Didn't get any money, though. They don't pay you worth the... Back then, I think my highest taxable income year, all 4 years I was in the Air Force, was just over $2,000.
Wow.
So that's poverty. I live below the poverty level as a U.S. military airman all 4 years.
My brother was in, he recently passed, and he attributes, he was telling me he had a lot of health problems. He did 2 years there, and he blamed, he needed a new kidney, and he blamed it on Agent Orange. I don't know if it, you know.
Yeah, it did, because I lost a coworker friend of mine here in Florida. He died early from the effects of Agent Orange. Agent Orange was a horrific defoliant. It should never have been allowed to come in contact with our men. Never. And they knew that.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
They knew that.
Yeah.
They knew what they were spraying on our guys. They're criminals. That's what I'm saying. Enough of this crap. These people are outright criminals.
Gotta stop. going to end? I don't know.
Well, it's up to us men to stop it. That's all I'm going to say. It's up to us men. And I'm talking about us, meaning the white men of faith had better put their big boy pants on real quick.
Yep.
Because we're the only ones who are going to stop this. I hope they understand that.
Yeah.
It's up to us. We can't be looking for saviors coming out of the same group of people that caused the problems. That's ridiculous. That makes us almost as completely insane as they are. We can't be looking to them.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, I think the Q movement is dead, and I think Trump's popularity is fading fast, and rightfully so, I think, because he's proving to be a major disappointment. Major disappointment.
Well, again, we weren't supposed to set up a man as a false messiah. The book in our faith tells us it's our job. We're the Adamic people that were put in charge.
That was the biggest thing that bothered me about the Q movement. There was some good that came out of it, making people look into these things and waking people up to a lot of the shit that's going on, but too much of it was like painting Trump as the Messiah, and it just disturbed me to no end.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we can see now, it's just all bullshit.
Well, we're in a very, very, very dangerous period of time right now. But we're also in a period of time that could be very illustrious if the righteous decide to get off their ass and get involved. That's the only thing that has to happen. The righteous have to say, I've had enough. That's it. That's it. Right there. You want this problem to go away? Then righteous men have to get off their ass and say, I've had enough.
I kind of think that has to happen. I don't think Yeshua is going to return until he sees something on our end, at least even if it's just a small remnant, say enough is enough. And but until that happens,
let me ask you a question that was asked of me many years ago. What's he coming back to do? Isn't he coming back to sit on a throne?
Right.
Okay. Well, if he's sitting on a throne, doesn't that sort of imply that there's a kingdom somewhere?
Somewhere, right. Right.
Maybe like a literal one? You know, everybody says, well, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's within you. Really? Well, then how is the world so screwed up? Because we got a lot of people that carry this kingdom around in their chest, but the world is turning into an absolute nightmare. So maybe... just maybe it's talking about a literal kingdom. Maybe sitting around and praying and talking about how wondrous it is to have the Spirit of the Father and have that kingdom within us, maybe that's not quite what he was talking about, because we're supposed to have an influence on the world around us. And just sitting around patting each other on the back that we've said the sinner's prayer and we're on our way to heaven, and oh, isn't it great that the kingdom's within me, that's not doing it. That doesn't change anything. The only thing that's ever changed anything is when men stand up and say, I've had enough. And the last time I read the book, it was the Adamic man was put here to administer his laws. And you look at the history of the white race, that's exactly what our men are. Period. That's it. No more complicated than that. White men have to stop their petty bickering, backstabbing, chasing after the pleasures of this world, and get their heads screwed on right, that we're here first. There's nothing wrong with having a good time, but you got to take care of the homework first. You got to take care of what you were put here to do, the chores, if you will. When I was a boy, it was called the chores. Get your chores done, then you can go outside and play. But you don't go outside until you get your chores done. Well, the men have been playing, and the world's been going to hell, and we haven't been doing our chores.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yo, I got my book today. I ordered the Lawrence Blanchard I got the first book anyway. I didn't order the whole series. I don't want to read the first one, but I'm looking forward to that. I just got it in the mail today. Discover the Story of Your Biblical Heritage.
Oh, yeah. And that's a good thing to remind people. The website is Your Biblical Heritage, and that's all together. YourBiblicalHeritage.com. Excellent learning series. It's only 7 books. It'll take you from A to Z on who is correctly identified as who in the Bible. I'm on book 3, almost finished with book 3, then I'll be ordering book 4. But, yeah, very well written. Pastor Blanchard is excellent at putting complicated things in such a way that it's easy to understand. So it's very timely that he put this short course together. He's also going to make DVDs for folks that don't like reading, and we got a lot of people too lazy to read, so he's putting together a DVD series teaching the same information. So that won't be ready for a little while yet, but when it is, then we'll have another way to educate our sleeping sheep as to who they are.
Yeah, I'm sure if you ever tried to put it on YouTube, it'd be taken down pretty quickly.
Oh, YouTube is run by the enemy. The good news is, though, that there are patriots working on alternative platforms right now. It's about a month to go yet for the first one to come out. So Yahweh's people and patriots are working to go around these Jewish roadblocks. And, you know, with Yahweh's blessing, we'll have alternative platforms here very soon.
Absolutely.
All right. So, anything further, buddy?
No, that's it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Will do.
Are you cutting out now, or are you?
Yeah, I'm going to close with a prayer, and then we'll sign off.
All right, bud.
All right. Yahweh bless, buddy.
Hey, by the way, one last thing. One last thing.
Yeah.
I am, I found a new website, I can't remember what it's called, but it's about conservative people looking to get out of conservative states, relocating, and they supposedly help you quite a bit relocate to more conservative states like the South and so forth. So my wife and I think I mentioned this to you before. Last year we almost moved. We're looking again, and we're hoping by spring to get out of this effing northeast corridor of this country because it's disgusting. I'd like to go down to Florida where you are because there's a lot of patriots down there. I just don't know if I could make the weather change. I just think that's your body's so adjusted to it. I don't know. It seems like
it wasn't that hard. Believe it or not, it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. Actually, I adapted to it better than the people that grew up down here, believe it or not. I can handle the heat better than the locals can.
Right now, we're kind of compromising right now. We're thinking Tennessee, but North Carolina, Tennessee, but I don't know. I suppose anything's possible. But we're in the – right now the housing market is pretty dead, but we're going to try to get this accomplished by springtime, get the hell out of the Northeast. I think a lot of people, especially people, not just conservatives, but people who follow Yahweh, we need to get out of these states like California and the Northeast, New York, especially New York, my God. Anybody who considers himself a believer who could live in that state with the most recent development there with the abortion, God. And I'm in Connecticut. I'm right next door, so I got to get out of here. And besides that, the weather, this winter weather, the temperature today at 2 o'clock, I went for a walk. The temperature was about 35 degrees. It's about 5 right now. So,
wow.
Yeah. Big drop. And so keep me in your prayers as we try to get out of this hellhole up in the Northeast and get further down south, closer to you guys. And that's about it.
All right, buddy. Certainly will. And, keep up the good work, and we'll do it again sometime.
All right. Take
Yep.
care.
Yeah, take care. Yahweh bless. Yeah, really to all of our brothers and sisters up in the middle part of the country in the north up there, they're getting hammered pretty tough. But all of the brothers and sisters I've talked to that are up there, they're pretty prepared for it. They've got supplies and their homes are built to withstand it, and they're able to hunker down. They've made their preparations. Their lamps are full of oil, as the scripture puts it, meaning they're prepared. So with their lamps full of oil, they can hunker down and sit tight for weeks if they had to, maybe even months. So that's why you do all that stuff. But some people just don't get it. I don't understand what's so hard to understand about that, but they just don't get it. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We know these are precarious times. We also know that you're ultimately in control. And those of us who have come to a knowledge of the truths of the Scripture as you've taught it, we know that you're our Father and we are your children. And under your wings is where we find our comfort and our shelter and our refuge. We're not going to worry about what the world's doing. As Psalm 91 says, we may see thousands upon thousands fall all around us, but the plague will not come unto us. We trust that. You told us that, and we trust that. It doesn't make sense to us that it can get this bad, and yet we'll be protected somehow, but by gosh, most of the believers I know anyway, the ones who walk the walk, not just talk the talk, they are protected. They are doing okay. Maybe not great, but they're doing okay. So we thank you for that, Father. But the poor, innocent people, especially our babies that are being butchered in the mother's womb and being lauded by these Satanists and these companies that use their bodies for research and cosmetics and food additives, they are despicable beyond description. How much more do we allow, Father? When will you raise up that Ezekiel 37 army that becomes a vast and mighty army to do right on this earth? I'm praying for it tonight. I'm praying for it every single night. My head hits the pillow. That army needs to rise up and say, enough is enough. And put all of the liars, misfits, degenerates, communists, and profligate misfits in the grave. That's what needs to happen. We've tolerated way too much, and our job was to come here and administer the law so that all people could live in peace and harmony as it was intended to be, instead of just being slaves to their system and to be raped and robbed at their will, instead of having the chance to live out their lives in peace and harmony as it was supposed to be. So we pray again for that Ezekiel army to rise up. In the meantime, speak to your men, Father. They need to realize how important it is that we walk the walk and we be the leaders and the ensigns as a good sign to our people at this time. And we pray for the folks that have enough courage to don the yellow vests, whatever country they may be in, that you would watch over them. The ones that are doing it for the right reasons, we ask a hedge of protection be put around them, and that this movement grows to show that the people are finally rising up and saying, we've had enough of this garbage. So be with us and guide us on our daily walk, Father. Forgive us our sins and protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Hallelujah.